Good morning. It is now 9:01 on Thursday, June 10th, 2021. I am Victoria Bowman, Chair for the State Board of Massage Therapy. The meeting is called to order. Pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy, known as Board, and to the general public that the Board will hold a meeting open to the public on Thursday, June 10th, 2021 at 9 a.m. The meeting will be held digitally online. The meeting is open to the public. However, during the course of the meeting, the Board, upon a majority vote of a quorum of the members, may, when necessary, hold an executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3, as indicated on the Board's agenda. The executive session is not open to the public. Information concerning the Board's agenda, including a copy of the agenda and any amendments, can be obtained at the Board's office through the Board's website. The agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meeting. Agenda items are noted by number and letter for convenience and reference. The Board may address the agenda items in any order within the time frame indicated and may set over matters to a later time when necessary. The Board reserves the right to change the order of the agenda items except for matters set for a specific time. Title II of the Americans with Disability Act prohibits the Board from discriminating on the basis of disability in its public meetings. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as sign language interpreter, by contacting Board staff. The Chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage reserves the right to change the order of the times published on the agenda except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the Board meeting and upon a vote of the majority, the Board may go into executive session. In accordance with open meeting laws, the Board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the Board from carrying out its business. Individuals found violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior and act civilly, and if the disorderly conduct continues, the person may be removed from the meeting. I do not believe that our minutes administrator is with us this morning. The minutes are being taped, so I will do a roll call vote. So Victoria Bowman, Chair, is present. Emily Clark. Please, thank you. John Ortega.
Present.
Nick McLean. Mr. McLean, are you present? Okay, Mr. McLean is not here. We do have a quorum, so we will continue. Call to the public pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the Board may make an open call to the public during a public meeting, subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the Board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The Board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. I now will ask for a declaration of conflict of interest. So for the Board members that are present, having reviewed the information in our packet on this case, is there any conflict of interest?
None for me.
Okay. Hearing that there is none, we will move forward. review, discussion, and possible action on Board meeting minutes. Do we have a motion for the minutes of May 25th, 2021?
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes from the meeting on May 25th, 2021.
John Ortega, I second.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes. items for board review, discussion, and possible action. Upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss and consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. Okay, we are now going to take investigative review, case 21-157, Jeremy DeLosa. Is Mr. DeLosa present? If so, please let yourself be known.
Yeah, take your speaker off, Mr. DeLosa.
Mr. DeLosa, are you present? Please unmute yourself.
Right here.
Yes, okay. We're here. Mr. DeLosa is in the blue shirt. My name is Mitch Padilla, representing him.
Mitch Padilla, okay. Thank you, Mr. Padilla, for being present today. Is the complainant, L.S., present?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It is now 9:07 on Thursday, June 10th, 2021. This is a formal interview of Jeremy DeLosa.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I apologize for interrupting. It's not a formal interview. It is actually a summary suspension investigative review.
Okay. I got the wrong paper open. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Mr. Monahan, first of all, I would like to acknowledge staff. I would like to acknowledge Tom Augerton, our executive director, Andrew White, our investigator, Tony Wilcox, all around, get everything done for me. Let's see. I don't have all my papers in front of me. Mr. Monahan, and I think I've left somebody out, so forgive me.
Kathy Rich.
Kathy Rich, thank you. How can you forget that name and that person?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Monahan, I do have a form on summary suspension in my folder, and that's where you want me to go?
If you would, please, Madam Chair, that would be the correct thing.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay,
absolutely.
This is the date and time regarding considering a summary suspension against Jeremy DeLosa. Give me the license. Emily, would you give me the... I have the license number is MT16774.
Correct.
Right, and our case number?
21-157.
Okay, got it all here now. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We have identified that counsel and the license holder are present. This is a preliminary review of the information available to the board at this time. It is not a hearing. Because of the gravity of the preliminary information, the board may consider summary action against license or certificate number 16774. Okay. If the board decides to summarily suspend the license, a full hearing will be scheduled on this matter within 35 days. At the hearing, you will have an opportunity to present evidence and argument on your behalf and to challenge the state's evidence. Assistant Attorney General Monahan, are you ready to proceed?
Yes, I don't have anything to proceed on.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if you'd like to have Inspector White, Investigator White, remind the board of the presentation made at the last meeting by Andrea Cisneros, he could make that today for you regarding the case.
Okay. Mr. Monahan, would it be okay if I went ahead and read the complaint summary?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is the complaint summary. On April 6, 2021, the Arizona Massage Board received this complaint. Ellis stated, while at Massage Envy Prescott at 120 East Sheldon Street for a spa treatment, on November 15th, 2021, that's an error that we need to correct. It was on 2020. Licensed massage therapist Jeremy DeLosa allegedly made several violations towards her during a massage session. LS stated DeLosa was instructed to work her back, neck, glutes, hips, and feet only. DeLosa started by touching her right side in a circular motion and moving her hips and buttocks in circular motion, slowing the action, causing LS to believe this action was sensual rather than therapeutic. DeLosa then started moving LS's hip bones while saying, I'm sorry, but I think I'm getting excited because I see you are getting excited. LS was confused and didn't process what DeLosa was saying. At this time, DeLosa digitally penetrated LS's vagina with his fingers. LS stated it took several seconds for her to process what had happened. LS was frozen, then realized DeLosa wasn't going to stop. LS sat up. LS stated to DeLosa, this has got to stop. DeLosa then removed his fingers from LS's vagina. LS was frightened and confused and didn't want DeLosa to hurt her. She told him to just finish her feet. At the end of the massage, DeLosa stated, I'm sorry. LS was nervous and afraid. LS stated she did not want him to get her name and address for fear of retribution. When DeLosa left the room, LS stated she immediately got dressed to leave in a hurry. She opened the door and DeLosa was standing there with his arms open wide for her to hug him, in which he had never done before. And while parting ways, DeLosa said, see you next time. LS reported this incident to Massage Envy, Prescott Police Department, and the Arizona Massage Board. DeLosa was terminated on 11/23/2020. Okay. So, Mr. DeLosa, again, Mr. Monahan, should I start with the defendant and have him make any comments he would like to make?
Madam Chair, members of the board, I think what would be more prudent is to start with the complainant. Okay. And then allow the respondent to respond, and okay. Then if you need to go back to the complainant for any reason, you can at that point.
Okay, very good. Okay, LS, do you have any additional information to share with us?
Yes, I would like to share some comments. Thank you. I'm a 57-year-old happily married woman who's been getting regular massage therapy since my mid-20s, and nothing like this has ever happened to me. I've had several massage sessions with this therapist prior to the incident that we're here to discuss today, and I trusted him. But that day on November 15th, this therapist sexually assaulted me by digitally penetrating me. He took advantage of my vulnerable state. I was in a dimly lit room, naked, under the sheets, and very relaxed. The massage was feeling normal to me for about 40 minutes, and then the therapist had me turn over on my back. I had my mask on, and so it's difficult to breathe, as you know, and he started to massage my right hip and buttocks in a different manner than he had done before. I thought it was different technique, but didn't think much of it. Since I was very relaxed, I was enjoying the massage, I was relaxed, and then he started on my left hip and buttocks, and he was massaging me in a much slower fashion and going more towards my pelvis. And looking back, it was more of a sensual sort of massage that I haven't felt with him before. My breathing became probably a little bit shallow as I was relaxed and I had my mask on. I almost sort of felt like I was being lured into something, but not realizing what was happening at the time. He then said to me, "I'm sorry, but this is the first time this has happened to me, and I'm getting excited because I see you may be getting excited." And at that point, his comment didn't really register with me at the time. I wasn't thinking of the state of mind he was in or why should I be taking care of what he was feeling. It just didn't register. I was just thinking of my massage. So I replied, "It's okay." Then without much time went by, he abruptly put his finger or fingers, I'm not sure which, into my vagina and began to move them in and out of me. After that, I can't remember how long it took, but it came out. I came out of this relaxed sort of state and I realized what was going on. I froze and I didn't know what to do or how to get out of the situation. I finally raised my chest off the table and he was still penetrating me. And I told him that this needs to stop. And he stopped. I didn't want to get upset. I've never been in such a serious, scary situation in my life. And if I didn't want to get mad or make him mad, it was me and him alone in a room and I'm naked and afraid. So I just said, "Finish my feet," in the last minutes we have. And I didn't feel a thing. I just couldn't feel anything. The last thing he said to me when he finished the massage was, "I'm sorry." I ask, why would someone say I'm sorry if they haven't done anything wrong to me? He knew he had violated me. It is my opinion that I'm not the only one that he has done this to. I say that because he felt so comfortable doing this to me, and it was so abrupt. As I exited the room, he was standing outside the room, which is the end of the hallway, which in hindsight, that was a real good place for somebody to do this to me because it was in the back of the building and kind of in a hard place to get out of. After I left Massage Envy, the gravity of what happened to me began to sink in. And I filed a police report a couple days later, and I contacted the owner of Massage Envy franchise to report this assault. Within a week of contacting the owner, I participated with an interview with a third-party investigator that Massage Envy uses in these cases. This third-party investigator also interviewed this massage therapist in question, and he was terminated from Massage Envy and can never work in any of their franchises in this country again. You may ask me, why did it take me 4 months to file a formal complaint with the massage board? Up until now, I did not have the courage to confront this in the format of a formal hearing. It sounded very intimidating and scary for me to face total strangers to talk about this experience. However, I've been in therapy and continue in therapy to help myself heal from this trauma, and it has been a horrible experience for me. It is through the support that I'm getting from my husband, my therapy, and also from the Prescott Police Victim Advocate Program that I'm here today. This has been extremely difficult for me emotionally with many sleepless nights, anxiety, and replaying this over and over again in my head. I know that filing this complaint and participating in this hearing would also help me heal. I know I will get over this. But I couldn't live knowing that I could possibly be putting another person in this similar situation. I understand that your role here is to determine who is telling the truth and to protect the community from any harm. I'm telling the truth. This terrible tragedy happened to me, and I was sexually assaulted on that day. It is my hope that being here today, you will prevent this from happening to another person.
Thank you. Mr. Monahan, Should we have board members question LS at this time or go on to the defendant?
It would be appropriate for you to ask questions of the complainant at this time.
Okay, thank you. So, Ms. Clark or Mr. Ortega, do either of you have questions for LS?
Yes, I have one question for LS. In your statement today and also your written statement that we have in our packet, you mentioned that when you finally realized the gravity of what was happening, you sat up and said, this has to stop. Why did you allow the remainder of the time to continue for the therapist to work on your feet instead of getting up and stopping the massage at that moment?
That's a really good question. I was thinking, how can I make this more normal? And when you're in that situation, you're so afraid and you're not thinking rationally. And I just felt like, okay, I can't make him upset. And I'll just, you know, we've got a few minutes and I just said, finish my feet. And then I thought it would be just done. And then I get out of there. So I, looking back, you know, I don't know why I felt like if I said, get out of here or something, he would get upset and figure out who I am and where I live. A lot of things went on in my head at the moment that kept me from probably doing what you just suggested.
Because it is within your right as a client that if something were to happen or did happen, it's well within your right to stop the massage no matter what the situation may happen.
True. So, you know. When you're in that situation, you're not thinking as clearly as you would if you weren't in that situation. It's something that's very hard to describe.
I understand.
And I don't have the words for that, but I didn't know what else to do. I got the heck out of there as fast as I could and left the building.
When did you report the incident to Massage Envy?
I believe that was on...
Within a day or 2 days or...
It was like within three or 4 days. I can't remember the date.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a lot of... When you go through something like this, or what I have gone through is... There was a lot of shock. First of all, denial that what just happened to me. And I just, there's shock and denial about it. And then you got to figure out, what am I going to do about it? And it's been a long process.
Thank you.
Mr. Ortega, do you have any questions? Not at this time. Okay. Thank you, LS. We may want to question you a little bit more in the future. Okay, Mr. DeLosa, would you like to make any comments or share anything about this situation?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I would like to state that I do. Well, good morning. Anyway, I do not take these serious accusations against me very lightly. I have never caused any harm or intentionally made anyone feel aroused, like she mentioned in her first verbal statement, with no indication to me during the session. In my professional career, I have never seen a client fully or partially disrobed, as described in her second statement. I have never steered away from my scope of practice. It is my duty and with intent to give therapeutic massage only. I am a massage therapist.
Thank you. Board members, are there any questions that you have of Mr. DeLosa?
Mr. DeLosa, how long have you been practicing massage therapy?
Can't hear you. Say it again.
How long have you been practicing massage therapy?
In October, it'll be 10 years.
And what would you say the ratio between men and women that you have given massages to, approximate?
About 50-50 now. More men are getting more.
Okay. John, do you have anything?
Okay. So, Mr. DeLosa, this is Board Chair Bowman. I do have a few questions. Being that this was the, we know it was the year of COVID, why did you open your arms in extending a hug when she came out of the room?
I did not do that. She is the one who came out of the room. She gave me a hug. As working with an employer and going with the CDC, we are not allowed to hug or anything of that matter, especially staying 6 feet away. That did catch me off a surprise, and that's why I remember that very dearly, is that she gave me a hug, and that was a little odd to me. And she whispered into my ear and said, "That was the best massage ever. Thank you."
You have any other comments? The question I would like to ask you now is, why did you put your termination in with Massage Envy at the same time that this occurred?
Because that once there is an accusation that's happening, Massage Envy does not take very lightly with any negativity. And so I pretty much knew the outcome that was going to be, and to also find out that I have put in so many years into that company, nobody had my back whatsoever. There was no support from them whatsoever. So it was just time for me to just decide to, I'm going to go anyway. So that's what I did.
Chair Bowman, your mute is on.
The mute?
Thank you. Unmute. I think the question that's in my mind is, if nothing happened and you felt you didn't do anything wrong, why you would just decide to resign?
Oh, I didn't. That was the determination of the third-party company who interrogated me. And pretty much threatened my entire career. I felt it was completely biased. And they pretty much told me that I don't have a job. So, and that was horrifying.
Mr. DeLosa, if I may interject, Chair Bowman. It's my understanding, having worked for that company for several years, many years ago, they have a no-tolerance policy, and they are obligated, I believe, by their policies and by law that when there is an incident, they put the person on suspension, and usually, regardless of whether it's a male or female, they will end up terminating the individual after their investigation because they have a no tolerance policy. So
that is correct.
You know, so I agree with Chair Bowman. Why would you want to have released your position with Massage Envy before they had finalized their investigation?
I pretty much already knew what their determination was going to be, so I decided to put my 2-week notice in.
Okay.
Just for sake, I mean, I just wanted to tell them, you know, pretty much my last words.
Now, usually
it was just unfair to me how unsupportive that they really were, and I think that's really why I really wanted to just leave there, because there was no support from them whatsoever.
Are there any other board questions for Mr. DeLosa at this time?
No.
Okay. Ms. LS, do you have any further comments?
I would like to say, make it perfectly clear, that I was not in any way in any mood or wanting to give a hug to this person. And I never said that was the best massage I ever had. I said, I'm not going to say anything about this because I was afraid he would do something to me. Those were my words when I left that area from the door. I could not wait to get out of there. So those two things are not accurate and not truthful.
Ms. LS, I believe there's information that you have, you mentioned you were in therapy.
Yes, I am. I still am. Well,
okay. When did you start that therapy in relation to this incident?
Oh, probably 2 days after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a therapist,
I'm still in therapy with the victim advocate of Arizona, and they're helping me get through this.
Okay. Ms. Clark, you have a question?
Yeah, I just was asking LS, has the therapy been beneficial for you?
It has been. You know, it's trying to mitigate the magnitude of what happened to me so that it's not so large in my life. So now it's smaller and it doesn't take, you know, there was a lot of sleepless nights for me and a lot of anxiety. So it's helping me with my anxiety. I was on anti-anxiety pills for a little bit and I don't have to take those anymore. So it's helping me put things into perspective and heal from that in many ways.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any other board questions for either LS or Mr. DeLosa?
No.
So it's now time for the board to go into deliberation on this.
Can I ask a question?
Who is this?
This is Jeremy.
Okay, Mr. DeLosa. Mr. Monahan, is it?
It's appropriate.
Okay, yes, you may ask a question.
I was wondering, did the panel of the board receive 14 documents titled survey for Jeremy from clients?
Yes, we did.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. I think that's pretty much all the questions I have then.
Okay, thank you. So now, board, we need to go into deliberation and either make a motion for, well, first of all, I would like to ask Mr. Monahan to explain to us what a summary suspension is and the steps that we take in order to do that if we deem it something important to do today.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'll just speak about summary suspensions generally. So under the board's statutes, under 4254B, if the board finds that based on the information that the public health, safety, or welfare requires emergency action and incorporates that finding into its order, the board can order a summary suspension, which would basically put the license in a suspended status. And per the statute, the board would then hold a hearing within 60 days. The practical effect of that is that, you know, we would have a hearing in July on this matter, wherein both sides would present their evidence and the respondent would have an opportunity to, you know, rebut the state's or the board's evidence against him. And that's basically about it. But the one thing you want to remember is that if, you know, if you feel summary suspension is important, then or necessary, then whatever evidence you have today is the evidence that has to go into the complaint and notice of hearing.
Thank you. Can we at the same time offer a consent agreement for a surrender of license? Can we go through our normal processes that we do at a investigative review?
Absolutely. So the board could either move it to a formal interview if they feel that's more appropriate. The board can move it to a formal hearing based on the allegations, or the board could summarily suspend the license if they, you know, you have that option if you think that the health and safety of the community requires it. And you could offer a consent agreement, letter of concern, dismiss. You know, you have all your options available right now, except for taking disciplinary action.
Okay, thank you. So, I think I will speak at least to start. For me, there is a lot of veracity of concern in this case, more so than we often see with a he said, she said situation. In reading the case, there's certainly a lot of disagreement as to what happened. And I feel that LS has certainly had massage a lot in her life. And we also know that when a woman is in a vulnerable position, and especially very near the end of a treatment, that anybody, whether it's a woman or a man, is in a, let's call it an alpha brainwave state in which we do not fire quickly because we're not in beta. And, mm-hmm. and that's a compliment to our work, because what we're as massage, and I am a licensed massage therapist. And so what we're trying to give them is an opportunity to de-stress. And so for me, there just seems to be a heavier weight of concern in this case. I think LS, while she didn't respond immediately, it's hard to respond immediately. We've heard that in so many cases. And then she went to the point of contacting the police, contacting the location, getting into therapy, and therapy even deemed that she needed medication for the anxiety. So that put her in a tremendous amount of stress. That's where I stand on it at this moment, and I'd like to hear from our other board members.
Can I just say something?
No, you may not at this moment. Okay. Please.
This is Vice Chair Clark. I'm leaning towards agreeing with you, with the board chair. When we are in an alpha beta state, we're zoned out. But no matter how much experience a therapist has, the client comes to us as a therapist with faith and trust in our abilities, with our training, our experience, and our education. And no matter whether the therapist is male or female, it only takes one incident to affect the client and affect what happens to them. As we have heard many times in the past, it's a lot has been he said, she said, because there's only two people in the room. Regardless of how long a therapist has been working in the field, never ever does it give them a license to go beyond their scope and do something that might be detrimental to their livelihood, their license, and their integrity. And it only takes one time. It only takes one time to ruin everything for both parties. I agree that I've often thought of putting myself in the place of the complainant and what would I do in a similar situation. And I often wonder, would I stop the massage? That's what we say should happen. Or would I be so zoned out that I would be in complete panic, being able to freeze and not be able to do anything because I'm not so sure about what could happen afterwards. I think LS did the right thing in contacting the location and the police department. She put herself into therapy immediately to be able to help herself overcome what happened. And so I'm kind of leaning towards, I think there definitely did something happen. There something did happen with LS, and that can't be ignored. John?
I found, this is John Ortega, I found the complainant's allegations credible. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
Thank you. I would like to comment on the a couple of things. One, we had this on our agenda for May, and the defendant, Mr. DeLosa's counsel, was unable to be there, and LS was noticeably upset about that because, again, I know she is concerned that this not happen to other people. I understand that as well. And then a comment about reviews. I mean, I think reviews are wonderful. At the same time, a person can have a perfect driving record for 10 years and then decide to drive after being inebriated, and that can ruin their life and other people's lives because of that occurrence. So while one can have a perfect record, when you're in a profession of healthcare, it carries great weight. And so what has happened previously is not on the table. What happened on the table is what's on our table today. So do we want a motion for a summary suspension? And do we want to offer a consent agreement for surrender of license? And should that not occur, to go forward to a formal hearing within 60 days?
I would make a motion that we offer a consent agreement for surrender of license, and if that does not happen, that we do go forward with a formal hearing within 60 days.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, so that would be you are requesting the summary suspension under 4254B. Is that what that motion was for, the summary suspension under 4254B, if it's not signed?
If the consent agreement's not signed? you mean?
Well, so, yeah, I guess so. We would, if you want to summarily suspend, what we would do is you would make a motion, you know, evidencing that, you know, in order to protect public health and safety under 4254B, we're going to summarily suspend the license pending a hearing within 60 days and also with the offer of a consent agreement for voluntary surrender.
Yeah.
Does that sound correct?
Yeah, that, yeah, what you said, Mr. Monahan.
Okay.
I kind of hard to try to remember to say all the time. But yes, okay. that's what I'm looking for.
Mr. Monahan, do we need to cite any thing other than 4254B? Do we need conclusions of law and...
Yes, we would.
Okay.
So you would adopt. You would make a motion to adopt. You finish this motion first.
Okay. Okay. Do we have a second on this motion?
John Ortega, I second.
Okay. Thank you. So the motion on the floor is for a summary suspension of Jeremy DeLosa, based on 4254B, providing for a hearing within 60 days. It has been seconded. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any noes? Okay, it passes unanimously. Okay, Mr. Monahan, if you would help us with a consent agreement.
Well, and then so your motion, then you would have a motion to base the summary suspension hearing on the findings of fact, I mean, the potential violations of law and the factual allegations as they are contained in your investigative report.
Very good. Yes. we really need to have those words written for us because we're not legalese here. Okay, so... okay, so I will move that the board offer a consent agreement based on the potential violations and the conclusions of laws as presented to us in our board packet. And
do you have a second?
Do I have a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Okay. So, thank you, Mr. Monahan. What else do we need? We need to put in this. I believe.
Well, you need a roll. You need a roll call vote.
Okay. So, Mr. Ortega.
Yes.
Ms. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Bowman. Yes. Motion passes unanimously.
Okay.
So guide me here, please.
So now you made a motion to adopt findings of fact and conclusions of law, but I don't, as they were found in the board's investigative report, but I don't think you had a second, and I don't think you finished that motion or voted on the motion.
Emily Clark, second.
Okay, so we need a roll call vote on this as well?
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Ms. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Bowman? Yes. Okay, it passes unanimously. Mr. Monahan, do we need to put parameters on the... consent agreement?
Yeah, I think generally it's within 20 days it needs to be signed. You know, but since we're already moving to formal hearing, it would be appropriate to just allow him time to review it until the formal hearing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
So may I thank the people for being present and have them get in touch with board staff for with any questions?
Yeah, Mr. DeLosa, Mr. Padilla, I will be reaching out to you either today or tomorrow regarding your case, and also the board staff will be reaching out as far as time frames. But you will hear from me at the latest by Monday so we can discuss your matter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for attending, Mr. Padilla and Mr. DeLosa. LS, thank you for attending.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, you may contact board staff.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is discussion and possible action items for future massage board agendas. I don't have anything. Do either other board members have anything that they want on the agenda?
No.
Okay. Our next scheduled board meeting is Monday, June 28th, 2021. It will be at 9 a.m. It will be video conferenced. If there is no further business, the meeting is now adjourned. It is 9:52 on Thursday, June 10th, 2021.